Yeah. Got over money. Pistol.
We them believers, even east side, west side, boy, we all around, round. North side, south side, worldwide, pound, pound. We put a pimpinito, but we pray for your town. And everywhere that we go, you know we hold it down, down. Just a bunch of sinners out here trying to follow Christ. They love to see us fall, man, hate to see us fly. And we ain't perfect either, we try to get it right. And we ain't only readers, we buy the little light. They play us in the media. But even when they hate us, we love them on sight. They wishing death upon us just for trying to bring them light, light. But it's alright. We them believers, we don't believe in calling right, wrong, right, wrong, right, and wrong, right. We them believers, they say the problem put us in the dark. It's alright. We them believers, the only way we know to grow is hard. On sight. We them believers, we grow with Jesus cause he gave it all, for our life. We them believers, they know we keep it cool and so they love to play around. They push us to the edge and then they say we wildin' out. Catch us on the wrong day, one of us a clown. And it'll be a long day, it's going down. We don't want no problems, we just living our life. It's hard enough without a hater trying to cause strife. I'm tripping on my own, just trying to walk right. If I put it in a song, we'll be here all night. Been here long enough to know it's not a joke, not a joke. I know where I'm headed when it's time to go, time to go. Put a two, then I get it popping new, popping new. Keeping Yahweh over dollar store. We them believers, we don't believe in calling right, wrong, and wrong, right. We them believers, they say the problem put us in the dark, and it's our light. We them believers, the only way we know to go is hard, on sight. We them believers, we grow with Jesus cause he gave it all, for our life. We them believers,
God over money. God over money, money, God over money, God over money, God over money, God over money, money.
We don't believe us, we don't believe in calling right, wrong, and wrong, right. We don't believe us. They say the problem put us in the dark, it's all light. We don't believe us, the only way we know to go is hard, on sight. We don't believe us, we grow with Jesus cause he gave it all, for our life. We don't believe us.
Good evening, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio Bible Reading Class. I'm your teacher for this evening. My name is Deacon Oliver Welch, and we ask that you invite your friends, family, and working associates to come join us every Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock. Till 8, a little, sometimes a little after. And Blog Talk Radio is brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, Church of Teaching, Learning, and Doing. And our class tonight will be Isaiah chapters 41 through 45. And we'll be listening to the scriptures and answering the questions right after the reading. Now, to get access to the questions, go to our website, and that's rscm.org. Click the tab in the top right-hand corner, and it'll scroll down and you'll look up the Bible reading class questions. Once you get that, and on your phone, we ask you to hit the number 1, and that'll put you in the hostess queue for answering questions. But when you do that, we want to make sure there's no background noises at all, none whatsoever when you do that. And when you get finished answering the question, or you just hit the mute button on your phone, and that way we won't get any background noises or anything in the background. It'll be peace and quiet. And like I said, when you want to answer a question, you hit your mute button again, and that'll open you up. Okay, I think that takes care of my presentation. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gorgeous day that you sent to us. We know we don't have too long before the cold stuff hits, Father, but we are just thankful for the days that we are grateful to have this warm weather as we do. Father, we ask that you open our minds, our hearts, and our ears so we get an understanding of what Isaiah is talking about in these scriptures that we are reading, Father. We ask that each and every one of us comprehend to the best of our knowledge and comment. And let us have spiritual fun when we answer these questions. So, Father, we just thank you that you've blessed us with your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for all that you've done for us, all that you're doing for us, and all that you will do us. In your Son's name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So here we're getting ready to go with the reading part of the scriptures. And as soon as that's done, we'll be answering the questions. And I will see you on the other side. Take it away, Pastor.
Isaiah 41. Be silent before me, you islands. Let the nations renew their strength. Let them come forward and speak. Let us meet together at the place of judgment. Who has stirred up one from the east, calling him in righteousness to his service? He hands nations over to him and subdues kings before him. He turns them to dust with his sword, to wind-blown chaff with his bow. He pursues them and moves on unscathed by a path his feet have not traveled before. Who has done this and carried it through, calling forth the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, with the first of them and with the last, I am he. The islands have seen it and fear. The ends of the earth tremble. They approach and come forward. They help each other and say to their companions, be strong. The metal worker encourages the goldsmith, and the one who smooths with the hammer spurs on the one who strikes the anvil. One says of the welding, it is good. The other nails down the idol so it will not topple. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear. I will help you. Do not be afraid, you worm Jacob, little Israel, do not fear. For I myself will help you, declares the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. See, I will make you into a threshing sledge, new and sharp with many teeth. You will thresh the mountains and crush them, and reduce the hills to chaff. You will winnow them. The wind will pick them up, and a gale will blow them away. But you will rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel. The poor and needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst. But I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valleys. I will turn the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into springs. I will put in the desert the cedar and the acacia, the myrtle and the olive. I will set junipers in the wasteland, the fir and the cypress together, so that people may see and know, may consider and understand that the hand of the Lord has done this, that the Holy One of Israel has created it. Present your case, says the Lord. Set forth your arguments, says Jacob's king. Tell us, you idols, what is going to happen. Tell us what the former things were, so that we may consider them and know their final outcome. Or declare to us the things to come. Tell us what the future holds, so we may know that you are gods. Do something, whether good or bad, so that we will be dismayed and filled with fear. But you are less than nothing, and your works are utterly worthless. Whoever chooses you is detestable. I have stirred up one from the north, and he comes, one from the rising sun who calls on my name. He treads on rulers as if they were mortar, as if he were a potter treading the clay. Who told of this in the beginning, so we could know, or beforehand, so we could say he was right? No one told of this, no one foretold it, no one heard any words from you. I was the first to tell Zion, look, here they are. I gave to Jerusalem a messenger of good news. I look, but there is no one, no one among the gods to give counsel, no one to give answer when I ask them. See, they are all false. Their deeds amount to nothing. Their images are but wind and confusion. Isaiah 42. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says, the creator of the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and all who live in them, let the wilderness and its towns raise their voices. Let the settlements where Kedar lives rejoice. Let the people of Selah sing for joy. Let them shout from the mountaintops. Let them give glory to the Lord and proclaim his praise in the islands. The Lord will march out like a champion, like a warrior. He will stir up his zeal. With a shout he will raise the battle cry and will triumph over his enemies. For a long time I have kept silent. I have been quiet and held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out, I gasp and pant. I will lay waste the mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn rivers into islands and dry up the pools. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do, I will not forsake them. But those who trust in idols, who say to images, you are our gods, will be turned back in utter shame. Hear, you deaf, look, you blind, and see. Who is blind but my servant, and deaf like the messenger I send? Who is blind like the one in covenant with me, blind like the servant of the Lord? You have seen many things, but you pay no attention. Your ears are open, but you do not listen. It pleased the Lord for the sake of his righteousness to make his law great and glorious. But this is a people plundered and looted, all of them trapped in pits or hidden away in prisons. They have become plunder with no one to rescue them. They have been made loot with no one to say, send them back. Which of you will listen to this or pay close attention in time to come? Who handed Jacob over to become loot and Israel to the plunderers? Was it not the Lord against whom we have sinned? For they would not follow his ways. They did not obey his law. So he poured out on them his burning anger, the violence of war. It enveloped them in flames, yet they did not understand. It consumed them, but they did not take it to heart. Isaiah 43. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Lead out those who have eyes but are blind, who have ears but are deaf. All the nations gather together and the peoples assemble. Which of their gods foretold this and proclaimed to us the former things? Let them bring in their witnesses to prove they were right, so that others may hear and say it is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no god was formed, nor will there be one after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and apart from me there is no Savior. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed. I am not some foreign god among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God, yes, and from ancient days I am he. No one can deliver out of my hand. When I act, who can reverse it? This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I will send to Babylon and bring down as fugitives all the Babylonians in the ships in which they took pride. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. This is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness, and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland, to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Yet you have not called on me, Jacob. You have not wearied yourself for me, Israel. You have not brought me sheep for burnt offerings, nor honored me with your sacrifices. I have not burdened you with grain offerings, nor wearied you with demands for incense. You have not bought any fragrant calamus for me, or lavished on me the fat of your sacrifices. But you have burdened me with your sins and wearied me with your offenses. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Review the past for me. Let us argue the matter together. State the case for your innocence. Your first father sinned. Those I sent to teach you rebelled against me. So I disgraced the dignitaries of your temple. I consigned Jacob to destruction and Israel to scorn. Isaiah 44. But now listen, Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen. This is what the Lord says. He who made you, who formed you in the womb, and who will help you. Do not be afraid, Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They will spring up like grass in a meadow, like poplar trees by flowing streams. Some will say, I belong to the Lord. Others will call themselves by the name of Jacob. Still others will write on their hand, the Lord's, and will take the name Israel. This is what the Lord says, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty. I am the first, and I am the last. Apart from me, there is no God. Who then is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and lay out before me what has happened since I established my ancient people and what is yet to come. Yes, let them foretell what will come. Do not tremble, do not be afraid. Did I not proclaim this and foretell it long ago? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? No, there is no other rock. I know not one. All who make idols are nothing, and the things they treasure are worthless. Those who would speak up for them are blind. They are ignorant to their own shame. Who shapes a god and casts an idol which can profit nothing? People who do that will be put to shame. Such craftsmen are only human beings. Let them all come together and take their stand. They will be brought down to terror and shame. The blacksmith takes a tool and works with it in the coals. He shapes an idol with hammers. He forges it with the might of his arm. He gets hungry and loses his strength. He drinks no water and grows faint. The carpenter measures with a line and makes an outline with a marker. He roughs it out with chisels and marks it with compasses. He shapes it in human form in all its glory, that it may dwell in a shrine. He cut down cedars, or perhaps took a cypress or oak. He let it grow among the trees of the forest, or planted a pine, and the rain made it grow. It is used as fuel for burning. Some of it he takes and warms himself. He kindles a fire and bakes bread. But he also fashions a god and worships it. He makes an idol and bows down to it. Half of the wood he burns in the fire. Over it he prepares his meal. He roasts his meat and eats his fill. He also warms himself and says, ah, I am warm, I see the fire. From the rest, he makes a god, his idol. He bows down to it and worships. He prays to it and says, save me, you are my God. They know nothing, they understand nothing. Their eyes are plastered over so they cannot see, and their minds closed so they cannot understand. No one stops to think. No one has the knowledge or understanding to say, half of it I used for fuel. I even baked bread over its coals. I roasted meat and I ate. Shall I make a detestable thing from what is left? Shall I bow down to a block of wood? Such a person feeds on ashes. A deluded heart misleads him. He cannot save himself or say, is not this thing in my right hand a lie? Remember these things, Jacob, for you, Israel, are my servant. I have made you. You are my servant, Israel. I will not forget you. I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Sing for joy, you heavens, for the Lord has done this. Shout aloud, you earth beneath. Burst into song, you mountains, you forest and all your trees. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob. He displays his glory in Israel. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer who formed you in the womb. I am the Lord, the maker of all things, who stretches out the heavens, who spreads out the earth by myself, who foils the signs of false prophets and makes fools of diviners, who overthrows the learning of the wise and turns it into nonsense, who carries out the words of his servants and fulfills the predictions of his messengers, who says of Jerusalem, it shall be inhabited, of the towns of Judah they shall be rebuilt, and of their ruins I will restore them, who says to the watery deep, be dry, and I will dry up your streams, who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and will accomplish all that I please. He will say of Jerusalem, let it be rebuilt, and of the temple, let its foundations be laid. Isaiah 45. This is what the Lord says to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I take hold of, to subdue nations before him, and to strip kings of their armor, to open doors before him, so that gates will not be shut. I will go before you, and will level the mountains. I will break down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. I will give you hidden treasures, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. For the sake of Jacob, my servant, of Israel, my chosen, I summon you by name and bestow on you a title of honor. Though you do not acknowledge me, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, people may know there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. You heavens above, rain down my righteousness. Let the clouds shower it down. Let the earth open wide. Let salvation spring up. Let righteousness flourish with it. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe to those who quarrel with their maker, those who are nothing but potsherds among the potsherds on the ground. Does the clay say to the potter, what are you making? Does your work say, the potter has no hands? Woe to the one who says to a father, what have you begotten? Or to a mother, what have you brought to birth? This is what the Lord says, the Holy One of Israel, and its maker, concerning things to come. Do you question me about my children, or give me orders about the work of my hands? It is I who made the earth, and created mankind on it. My own hand stretched out the heavens. I marshaled their starry hosts. I will raise up Cyrus in my righteousness. I will make all his ways straight. He will rebuild my city and set my exiles free. But not for price or reward, says the Lord Almighty. This is what the Lord says. The product of Egypt and the merchandise of Cush and those tall Sabaeans, they will come over to you and will be yours. They will trudge behind you, coming over to you in chains. They will bow down before you and plead with you, saying, surely God is with you, and there is no other. There is no other God. Truly you are a God who has been hiding himself, the God and Savior of Israel. All the makers of idols will be put to shame and disgraced. They will go off into disgrace together. But Israel will be saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You will never be put to shame or disgraced to ages everlasting. For this is what the Lord says. He who created the heavens, he is God. He who fashioned and made the earth, he founded it. He did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited. He says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. I have not spoken in secret from somewhere in a land of darkness. I have not said to Jacob's descendants, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare what is right. Gather together and come. Assemble, you fugitives from the nations. Ignorant are those who carry about idols of wood, who pray to gods that cannot save. Declare what is to be. Present it. Let them take counsel together. Who foretold this long ago? Who declared it from the distant past? Was it not I, the Lord? And there is no God apart from me. A righteous God and a Savior, there is none but me. Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is no other. By myself I have sworn. My mouth has uttered in all integrity a word that will not be revoked. Before me, every knee will bow. By me, every tongue will swear. They will say of me, in the Lord alone are deliverance and strength. All who have raged against him will come to him and be put to shame. But all the descendants of Israel will find deliverance in the Lord and will make their boast in him.
All righty, that ends our reading portion of our scriptures, and now it's time for us to answer these questions. Are you ready, folks? Here we go. Question number one. Who are they talking about, God's servants, and their sword and their bow?
Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
41, 2 through 4.
We can go with 1 through 4 would be fine.
Okay, 1. I'll take 1 through 4, sir.
Okay.
Listen in silence before me. You lands before beyond the sea, bring your strongest arguments. Come now and speak. The court is ready for your case. Who has stirred up this king from the east, rightly calling him to God's service? Who gives this man victory over many nations and permits him to trample their kings underfoot? With his sword, he reduces armies to dust. With his bow, he scatters them like chaff before the wind. He chases them away and goes on safely. Though he is walking over unfamiliar ground, who has done such mighty deeds, summoning each new generation from the beginning of time? It is I, the Lord, the first and the last. I alone am he. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All righty.
So who are they talking about, this person in the background?
This person.
Yeah, this king that they're talking about.
Cyrus the second of Persia.
All righty. Good answer. Dee-ding. All right.
All right.
Yes, yes. Okay, yeah. Well, do we all agree on that? Any other answers?
No.
Okay.
I agree.
Okay. Well, thank you, Deacon Reed, and young lady in the background, for the king that you answered. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Question number two. Who was God referring to as their God, and who, and where, and how is it the descendants?
Okay.
I don't know.
Number 41, 8 through 10.
Dun, 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 dun. Miss Kathy, you
that's
got it.
Okay, cool. All right, cool. All right.
Right?
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Would you read that for
all
us?
Okay, you ready? Okay. It says, but as for you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, my chosen one, descended from Abraham, my friend, I have called you back from the ends of the earth, saying, you are my servant, for I have chosen you and will not throw you away. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand.
Okay? All right. Amen. Would you be so kind to read those footnotes?
Sure. It says, God chose Israel through Abraham because he wanted to, not because the people deserved it. Deuteronomy 7, 6 through 8, 9, 4 through 6. Although God chose the Israelites to represent him to the world, they failed to do this. So God punished them and sent them into captivity. Now all believers are God's chosen people and all share the responsibility of representing him too and the world. One day God will bring all his faithful people together. We need not fear because, first, God is with us. I am with you. Two, God has established a relationship with us. I am your God. And three, God gives us assurance of his strength, help, and victory over sin and death. Are you aware of all the ways God has helped you? Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. God has helped you. Believe mm-hmm. me, we all can definitely write something down of what God has done for us. Very good. Thank you, Deaconess Kathy, for that answer. Are there any more answers? Any comments? Okay. Moving right along. Question number three. What questions are asked from God about long ago, the future, and the days ahead?
21. Oh, go ahead.
No, Eric, I'd rather if you go.
No, ma'am, I've already answered one. I'll be nice. Go ahead. I apologize.
Okay. I'm not sure if what I have is right. I have 41, 22, and 23.
Okay, well, you can add 21 and 24 to that and read that for me.
Okay. Present your case, says the Lord. Set forth your argument, says Jacob's king. Tell us, you idols, what is going to happen? Tell us what the former things were so that we may consider them and know their final outcome. Or declare to us the things to come. Tell us what the future holds so we may know that you are God. Do something, whether good or bad, so that we will be dismayed and filled with fear. But you are less than nothing, and your works are utterly worthless. Whoever chooses you is detestable. Amen.
Amen. And yes, ma'am, would you read the footnotes on that so we can get a better understanding?
Sure. Israel was surrounded by many nations whose gods supposedly had special powers, such as raising crops and providing victories in war. These gods, however, failed to deliver. A god with limited or no power at all is not really a god. When we are tempted to put our trust in something other than the living God, money, career, family, or even military power, we should stop and ask some serious questions. Will it come through? Will it unfailingly provide what I'm looking for? God delivers. When he makes a promise, he keeps it. He is the only completely trustworthy God.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Any more, any other answers? Any comments? All right. And like, you know, let's going back to the footnotes as far as our false gods or things that we cherish more than our Heavenly Father, like money, career, family, and, you know, even our military power, you know, it's like, they say that they are one nation under God and everything like that, but really, do any of our countries that have government, do they really honor God? Or that's just something for them to say, just to make it sound good? Any comments?
I agree with you. That
okay.
I think that they don't.
Pastor, just if you're there, could you comment, why do we say the Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God? Whoever wrote that, what were they trying to explain?
In the beginning of this country, when they came to America and started to turned those colonies into what we call the United States today. And two Christian men, not the Puritans who came here first in 1607, because they were like followers of Oliver Cromwell, and they were like Christian separatists. And their idea was to set up a perfect city of God, and convince the Anglican and Catholic Church in Europe to see this city of God and follow suit, and then the whole country become Puritan. But they were separatists. So when Roger Williams came here, he was a student of John Morton, the man Thomas Hawley's and John Smith, who began the what's called the Believer's Baptism. A person believes in Jesus, gets baptized, they say nothing else. John Morton is the man who brought it all full circle and created what we call the Baptist Church today. And Roger Williams is a follower of John the Baptist. So when he came to America, he was not welcome by the Christian separatists, the Puritans, because of his beliefs and freedom of religion, freedom of faith, and all of that. So they banished him, and he went to Rhode Island and created a church. Then onto the scene comes another man named William Penn. His father was a friend of the King of England, so he gave him a tract of land. Of course, we know that today to be Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. By the way, Roger Williams founded Providence, Rhode Island, under God's benevolent care. Why am I mentioning these two men? Because it is their freedom of religion and freedom from interference from the government, which was totally different than what was in Europe. In Europe, they would tolerate your religion, okay? But it was still viewed as not normative religion because it wasn't Anglican and it wasn't Catholic. But what Roger Williams and William Penn put together was something that was, you, as long as you worshiped a monotheistic God, you would not be harassed in any way, shape, or form. And then they went even further and said, no matter what your religion, you wouldn't be harassed. And so their ideas went into Declaration of Independence, all men are created equal. Endowed with certain inalienable rights given to them by their creator, and free to pursue life, liberty, and happiness, you know, prosperity and all that good stuff. And it also went into the Constitution. So when you hear them say one nation under God, those are the ideals. That's the idea for this experiment in democracy called America. They were not saying that everybody here believes in God, everybody here is going to live for God. That's the idea. It was founded on freedom, and that's really all it meant. Because most of the founding fathers were called reasonists. They believed in God, but things that couldn't be proved through the disciplines of science or couldn't be reasoned out, they didn't believe that. The virgin birth, couldn't prove it through science. They put 100 women in a room and left them there, and none of them got immaculate conception, so they reasoned that it didn't happen. And these are what the people they call our founding fathers. But anyway, when they say one nation under God, that's where that idea comes from. That's where that statement comes from. It's not to say that America is a Christian country, okay? And that the president is the pastor of the United States. That's not saying that. What it's saying is we offer you freedom to worship how you choose. Okay, that's not to say every American is a Christian or believes in God. Atheism is a kind of religion. Okay, so that's what it meant. It's an idea. Just like democracy. America is an experiment in democracy. So one nation under God, but they've turned the nation into a god, and they worship it. Republicans worship Republican ideology. Trumplicans worship Trump. Democrats worship liberal theologies.
Hold on. Excuse me. You say What's it called? Trump-licans?
Right. They're a whole different. They're not Republican. They used to be Republicans, but now they're Trump-licans. And so they worship. They don't have an ideology. Like Republican ideology is fiscal and social conservatism. You know, don't spend more money than you have and don't have an overly intrusive government. Let it be what the Constitution said. Let it create an environment for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's it. Democrats are a little bit more liberal than that. So security, let's help people, Medicaid, welfare, things like that. Okay? But Trumplicans, they have no ideology. They have no political agenda. You never hear them talking about what they're going to do. What Trumplicans do is worship Donald Trump, and that's all they do. They don't have an idea for the country, for taxes, for anything. They just worship Trump. So they're Trumplicans, not to be confused with Republicans. You know, their party is kind of tore up now because a lot of what we used to call Republicans are Trumplicans.
All right.
And you have a lot of Christians. Like, for instance, Charles Stanley was holding a vigil for Herschel Walker because all of these revelations that's coming out on him. They simply want him to be elected so they can push their far right, evangelical right agenda.
They have a puppet.
They don't even care that the things that he's done against women, even paid for a woman to have an abortion. But he's supposed to be the abortion candidate. His son came out and really told the truth about his dad. But they don't care because they have a far-right, evangelical-right agenda, and it's political. And somehow they believe Jesus is involved in our world's whack politics. The best you can do is be what Dr. Tony Evans calls a kingdom independent. And, like, I'd vote for the person who comes to tell the best stories about what they're going to do that comes the closest to what Jesus would do. And that's about as good as it gets.
All right, Pastor.
You're welcome.
Yes. See, that's a little bit of that, can go into that, some of that Christian history and know about certain things like that. Folks, you need to join us on Mondays, too, when we have Christian history. Very good discussion in class. Anyway, moving right along. Question number 4. What is God saying about my servant, and how is it explained?
I tried 42:1-4.
Again, my brother, you hit the nail on the head. Would you go ahead and read that scripture for me, please, sir?
Yes, sir. Look at my servant, whom I strengthened. He is my chosen one, who pleases me. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or raise his voice in public. He will not crush the weakest reed or put out a flickering candle. He will bring justice to all who have been wronged. He will not falter or lose heart until justice prevails throughout the earth. Even distant lands beyond the sea will wait for his instruction. Amen?
Amen.
Yes.
And what is the answer to that million-dollar question right there, my good brethren? What is that talking about?
Let me read this again to myself. You should be going on the teller so that way we can keep on moving.
Okay. I feel they're talking about Jesus Christ. If you really
look at my servant in my
I agree.
Oh, yeah, well, it say right here, I put my spirit upon him. He would be
right.
Just,
there you go.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Capital.
All right.
Very good.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, sir. Any other answers? Any comments before we move right along?
I have a comment on that one.
Yes, sir.
In the New Testament, that prophecy is literally fulfilled by Jesus. And if we go to Matthew chapter 12,
verse 18,
and start at verse 18, or you can start at verse 17. And it simply says, this fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah concerning him. Now, we know that Isaiah chapters 1 through 40 or 42 or 3 or something like that was written 700 years before Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we know that this prophecy is 700 years old. But this prophecy was fulfilled. This fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah concerning him. And, of course, to him is Jesus. Look at my servant whom I have chosen. He is my beloved who pleases me. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not fight or shout or raise his voice in public. He will not crush the weakest reed or put out a flickering candle. Finally, he will cause justice to be victorious, and his name will be the hope of all the world. And so when we see those passages from Isaiah, and then we see where Matthew, you know, Matthew's the writer to the Jews, okay,
right.
We get to see that what God says comes to pass. And when we read what God said and we see what God said, no matter how long it took, come to pass exactly like he said it would, then we call that a faith builder. And so when we're attacked by those who are outside of the faith and say that we just have these blind hopes, somebody just told us something, we're brainwashed, no. God said it. God did it. That's why we believe it. You know, God knows that he needs to show us something to believe, and he does. And he does it from Genesis all the way through. In Genesis 3:15, he gave us the promise of the Savior. How many years did that take to come to pass? You know, in the fullness of time, Jesus came. When everything was ready, Jesus came. We picked up that phrase during our study of the intertestamental period, especially if you read Ray Stedman's work on the intertestamental period, which is on our website under Christian History Stuff. So that phrase, the fullness of time, when God got good and ready is the way we would say it, Jesus came. So when God intentionally does this stuff, so those of us who believe in him know why we believe in him. One of the times you guys know that I went through the Bible looking for nothing but faith builders. I was looking for God to say something, and I intentionally looked to see if it came to pass. And everything he said came to pass. Some stuff quick, some stuff a little bit longer, some stuff like this 700 years later. But it came to pass. And that's why we believe.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Question number 5. How was the Lord called to do what?
Is that 47, 5 through 7?
You did.
5 through 7? Thank you for Ms. Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
That's chapter 42. You said 5 through 7.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Is that it?
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. It says God, the Lord created the heavens and stretched them out. He created the earth and everything in it. He gives breath to everyone. life to everyone who walks the earth. And it is he who says, I, the Lord, have called you to demonstrate my righteousness. I will take you by the hand and guard you, and I will give you to my people, Israel, as a symbol of my covenant with them, and you will be a light to guide the nation. You will open the eyes of the blind. You will free the captives from prison, releasing those who sit in dark dungeons. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Hey, once again, I got another comment.
Go ahead.
If we turn again to Matthew chapter 4, and we look at verse 12, and we see what Deacon Claverin just read come to pass. Matthew 4, verse 12, reads like this. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He went first to Nazareth, then left there and moved to Capernaum beside the Sea of Galilee in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This fulfilled what God said through the prophet Isaiah. In the land of Zebulun and of Naphtali, beside the sea beyond the Jordan River, in Galilee, where so many Gentiles live, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who lived in the land where death casts its shadow, a light is shined. And from then on, Jesus began to preach, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And the same thing I said about the last passage, about this passage. This is another place where Jesus literally fulfilled right before our eyes what God said about him those many years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, if anybody get a chance to read the footnotes in 42, 6, and 7, it's very enlightening, definitely. Anyway, going to question number 6, and I think everyone will like this. Let's see. And number 6 reads, what is chapter 42, 19 through 20 saying? And how are we to act? How are we to act the same way? Anybody like to go ahead and read that and answer that question?
I can read it, but I might ask somebody else to answer it.
Oh, okay. Which one? You need some red.
19 through 20. Okay, give me a
and
second.
After that.
Jesus called out to them, come follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. And they left him at once and followed him. Now you ask me, what did he mean?
Okay, hold up. You're at 19 and 20? Out of 42?
Wait a minute. Oh, my bad. I'm looking at Matthew. My bad, I'm still in Matthew.
Okay.
That's Pastor Paul. He had us in Matthew. Yeah, 19 and 20. I apologize.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who is as blind as my own people, my servants? Excuse me. Who is as blind as my own people, my servant? Who is as deaf as my messenger? Who is as blind as my chosen people, the servant of the Lord? You see and recognize what it is, but refuse to act on it. You hear with your ears,
but you didn't really listen. Okay.
Okay.
I read it, so I'm going to let somebody else answer. I don't want to be greedy.
Okay. Anybody want to take a chance at it?
Mm.
I can tell you how I feel about it. Anybody for me? Okay. Well, I look at it as I think it's demonstrating us how we are. You know, when we want to hear something, you will hear it. Or if you want to see something, you see it. But the thing is that this, what this verse is saying, that when we are obeying God, do you actually, when you read a verse, do you actually hear it, or do you listen to it, or do you do both?
Right, sir, what you just said.
Okay. Anybody want to elaborate on that?
I'm glad you explained it because I didn't get it. But I think that it's an admonition for disregarding God. But that's a guess.
Okay.
That's a good guess. A very good guess. Because God is saying that his people heard his word, and God does not make his word hard that, you know, man might make God's word hard to understand so they can appear smart, but God does not make his word hard for you to understand. It's simple and it's plain. What's hard is for us to deny ourselves and do what it says. That's what he is saying. Well, who is blind as my own people, my servant? Who is as deaf as my messenger? Who is as blind as my chosen people, the servant of the Lord? You see and recognize what is right, but refuse to act on it. You hear with your ears, but you don't really listen. God does not regard us as having listened to him or until we do what he says. Remember Abraham, let that be a good example for you, when he was on the mountain. It wasn't until God looked into Abraham's heart, not his hand where the knife was, or his head where the thought to say his son was, but when he looked into his heart, into his spirit, and saw that Abraham had reasoned in his heart that God could raise the dead, and he was on his way down with the knife, then the Lord said, "Now I know." And what we want to pay attention to is, yes, God knew, but he didn't know until Abraham actually did it. God knows what we're going to do when we read his word and knows exactly how we're going to respond to it. But he can't respond to it for us. Ultimately, we have to respond. And so when we hear God's word says turn right, but we turn left, it's not like we didn't know it said turn right. We just chose to turn left. And so God looks at us when we know what he said. James in 4:17 says, to him who knows what to do and does not do it, to him or to them it is sin. The worst whoopings I ever got, and my father would begin by saying this, didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you? Those were the worst ones because, see, I had to say, yeah, and then it was on. It was on because
right.
I knew, but I didn't do. And so I got it, and I got it good. It was so good I could feel it now.
Yeah, I know that's right.
I had a few of those myself. So Israel wouldn't listen to God. I mean, look where they're headed. They're not there yet, but they're on their way to captivity. And God has told them since Moses, if you clown on me like that, you're going into captivity. And he told them through all the prophets, and they still went.
Yep. Thank you, Pastor. Yes. All right. Any other answer? Any more comments? If not, we're moving to question number 7. And it states as follows. Number 7 says, who allowed Israel to be robbed and hurt?
I got 42, 23 through 25.
That sounds good to me.
Okay. Which of you will listen to this or pay close attention in time to come? Who handed Jacob over to become loot and Israel to the plunderers? Was it not the Lord against whom we have sinned? For they would not follow his ways. They did not obey his law. So he poured out on them his burning anger and violence of war. It enveloped them in flames, yet they did not understand. It consumed them, but they did not take it to heart. Amen.
Amen.
So the answer is the Lord.
Okay. Ma'am, would you read the footnotes on 42:23 for me, please?
Sure. We may condemn our predecessors for their failures, but we are twice as guilty if we repeat the same mistakes that we recognize as failures. We may be so ready to direct God's message at others that we can't see how it touches our own lives. Make sure you are willing to take your own advice as you teach or lead.
Amen. All right.
Now, that's a big amen on that. That is true, yes. Thank you much. Appreciate that. Any other answers? Any comments? Okay. Question number 8. Are verses 43, 1 through 7 talking about, are verses 43, 1 through 4 talking about, what it's talking about and their, and their meaning, and its meaning? Should I repeat that? Oh, let me do it like this. This is very much on aided, a very bad typographical error. What verse is 43? What verse is 43, 1 through 4, talking about and its meaning and their meaning? Well, somebody, could somebody read 43, 1 through 4?
Oh, I could do that.
Okay, and read the footnotes, and let's see what we can come up with.
Okay. But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who informed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Oh, you are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the only one of Israel, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt as a ransom for your freedom. I gave Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Others were given in exchange for you. I traded their lives for yours because you are precious to me. You are honored, and I love you. Oh, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
okay, go ahead and grab that footnote for me there.
Oh,
Brother
yeah,
Eric.
Let me bag up, pump my brakes. We're doing the one, 1 through 4, or one of the other ones on the other side? Two or three?
No, we're going to do 1 through 4.
Okay. God created the people of Israel, and they were special to him. God redeemed them and called them by name to be those who belong to him. God protected Israel in times of trouble. We are important to God. Two, if we claim to belong to God, we must never do anything that would bring shame to him. Oh, my God. Okay, I'm in trouble.
Okay.
Yeah, it's too late for me too, Deacon Eric.
Pardon?
I said it's too late for me too.
Okay. Thank you. At least I ain't by myself. Okay.
Yeah, you're not by yourself.
But I'm trying to make corrections every day, literally every day.
Yeah. But, you know, this verse, you know, pretty much kind of let you know from escaping out of Egypt, trying to go to the promised land, and most of them didn't make it. The old generation didn't make it. It was the new ones that went through. But they would repent, and then they'll go back to the same ways. And this scripture right here is just letting you know how many times Israel has started off on the right foot and went the opposite way and had to be punished.
Yeah, well, I know. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I don't know nothing on that.
No. I mean, can anybody elaborate it? I mean, you figure that what's all the mites, Jezebites and all them, all those real bad people, you know, that God had wiped out or had the kings of Israel wipe them out and didn't bring nothing back, no plunder or nothing like that, you know. If you really read that verse, you see how God had taken care of Israel through the wars and people, their enemies fighting them and everything. It's all back in the Old Testament up until Isaiah now.
Right. He goes all the way back to Egypt when he brings them out of Egypt and ransomed them from Egypt as his firstborn. Okay. And then he brought them through the Red Sea. He kept them in the wilderness. He strengthened them against the fight with Sihon and Og. He brought them through the Jordan River, and he brought them past Jericho, got them past the Midianites and every other ite that came against them in the book of the Judges. He gave them a kingdom, even with Daniel and the Hebrew boys. They were the ones who he did not allow the fires to burn them up. What God was letting Israel know is, I am your Savior. I am the one who keeps you. If you understand the flow of all five of these chapters, actually 41 through 45, what you see here is God saying, I am the true and living God, Israel. Get that in your head. Stop forsaking me for this God and the other God. As you said earlier about things that we turn into God. Today we don't carve idols, but we go to work and we buy a car. It becomes our idol. It's more important to us than God's word. Okay, we buy a house. It's more important to us than God's word. We get some money in the bank. It's more important to us than God's word. And so we have our idols today. Okay,
mm-hmm.
But what God wants Israel to know is, don't put your trust in the people or the things that I've made. Keep your trust in me and keep your reliance or alliance on my word, your allegiance to my word. Don't trust in self. I mean, every time we look at somebody that God brings up in the Bible, they turn to self and then they fall. Even when we read about Hezekiah, remember him? If you read his whole story, you'll see that he got puffed up in pride after being healed from what was going to take him out, and God gave him 15 more years. Of course, he repented, and came back to his senses. So what God is letting Israel know is no matter what happens to you, no matter where you go, I am with you, and you do not need to believe in, trust, lean, or rely on any other person, place, thing, or thought other than me. Because the thing is, it's not going to work for you. That's what God is saying, is I'm not going to hate you if you get caught up, okay? But it's not going to work for you because it's my thing. It's a thing I made. It's a person, a place, a thing, or thought I made or gave or that came into your head. Don't let that become your God. Let me, who made the person, the place, the thing, or the thought, let that be me. Let me be above all that. And,
okay.
And that's his argument here to the children of Israel, because Isaiah's pleading with them, but these folks are going to go to jail, and they're going to be there for a long time. A whole lot of them are going to die in there, down in Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
All right.
Yeah.
Question number. Go ahead, Kathy.
I was thinking about like when as like us, we might be like let me see. How can I put this? I know is God took me through a drought one time because he wanted people to depend on him instead of, you know, how you help people and people depend on you a lot. And it got to the point where it got to be too much. And so God just kind of took me through a whole big old drought. And I was like, okay, I'm being tested right now. And I was cool with it because I knew what he was trying to do. And so he wants us to depend on him. And we can't make people, you know, our gods. Because we can do that sometimes, make people our gods. And you could do it and not even know that you're doing it. So, yeah.
You
so
know.
That's
you are so right in what you just said. I tell people that all the time. Be careful getting in God's way.
Mm-hmm.
If God is trying to become the God, for instance, your son or daughter who has become an adult now, they're on
mm-hmm.
their own.
Right.
You took care of them their whole life. Well, if it's not your son or daughter, somebody else, who God wants to be, the same God that gives you everything you have, wants
mm-hmm.
them. It says, when your mother and father forsake you, then I will take you up. So God will, he'll strip you. He'll see
mm-hmm.
your resources are not unlimited like his. So he'll just
mm-hmm.
run you out. He'll take care of you, but he'll put you in a position where you can't help them. And then they have to turn to him because they little baby human God got broke. So they can't help you.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have no choice to seek God. And then when God
mm-hmm.
comes through for them, then
mm-hmm.
they don't need you no more. They go to him and they know that God got people, and God might not use you. He might use people you don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
To take care of the deal, but he wants to be the God who provides. He's Jehovah Jireh, not us.
Right.
And he will do that. I tell people that all the time. Get out
mm-hmm.
of God's way. Let them fail,
mm-hmm.
so God can lift
yep.
them up. And once God okay. lifts them up, then he gonna walk with them, and they'll
mm-hmm.
leave you alone. But if you
yeah.
keep on trying to be their God, he will empty
mm-hmm.
your pocket out and until you just can't help no more. And then...
right.
See, couldn't say nothing. I was like, I knew what he was doing to me and for me. And, hey, it was good. I had to go through like everybody else, go through to get through. Yeah. And he just gave me just enough for myself. That's it. He didn't give me nothing else. Oh, boy. blessed. And I was like, cool, okay, I'm done. Yeah, that was deep. Not letting, boy, don't, you can't tell me it's not a God. And that's what he wants people to know, that who he is, and that he has it all. It's all his. And we're just using it.
That's it. We're just stewards. That's
mm-hmm.
all we. It's as if we got a free lease on everything we have from God,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
he is the lesser. So,
yeah.
All right. Oh, thank you for sharing that with us, Kathy. We appreciate that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, question number 9. How was Israel chosen and by whom?
Is that 43:10?
43
yes,
what?
Ma'am, it is. 10 and 11.
43:10. It says, but you are my witness, O Israel, says the Lord. You are my servant. You have been chosen to know me, believe in me, and understand that I alone am God. There is no other God. There never has been and there never will be. Amen.
Okay,
amen.
What
is
that? I heard
43:10 and 11.
Okay.
It says, I, yes, I am the Lord, and there is no other Savior. Mm-hmm.
All right.
And it
Thank
says,
you.
Israel's task, remember we can put notes, it says, Israel's task was to be a witness, telling the world who God is and what he has done. Believers today share the responsibility of being God's witnesses. Do people know what God is like through your words and example? They cannot see God directly, but they can see him reflected in you. Amen. That's
true. Amen. That is true.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That is very, very true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you, Ms. Kathy, for that. Okay, number 10. Now, everybody just don't jump on this all at one time. Number 10 states, what verse talks about the Exodus? Excuse me.
I got 43:16 and 17 and 19 and 20. Is that right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think it's 15 through 21.
Mm-hmm.
15 through 21.
Okay.
Would you like to read that for us?
I would like to. Okay. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. I give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Very much. Eric, could if you got your Bible with you, could you read the footnotes of 15 through 21 for me?
Yes, sir. This section pictures a new Exodus for a people once again oppressed. As the Israelites had been as slaves in Egypt before the Exodus, they would cry. Let me get in the light. Hold on. There we go. let's see, Exodus, they would cry to God, and again, he would hear them, hear and deliver them. A new Exodus would take place through a new wilderness. The past miracles were nothing compared to what God would do for his people in the future. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
You remember how they were once they got out? They started getting hungry and thirsty, and they started complaining. Everything went. God took care of them regardless of all their bickering and complaining and everything, but it was never enough. So but as God, as this passage with Isaiah is talking about, it's talking about the Exodus and how he created everything on this earth and the animals. So we have a God that does it all. And made all.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he does. Thank you very much, everyone. Question number 11. Yes. Question number 11. How does Isaiah explain what predictions?
I don't know if this will be on point, but I had 44, 6 through 8.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Anybody else?
44.5.
Pardon? Huh? 44.5. Okay. That sounds cool to me. Y'all go ahead.
I did all the way up to 20. But, go ahead and read your part, the answer that you have.
Hold on. You say from where to where?
I've got from 9 to 20.
Yeah.
Well,
9 to 20.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. I'm listening. Mm-hmm. Is somebody going to read it, Kathy, or what?
Well, was that number 11 or 12?
That was number 11.
Oh, okay.
So I was thinking 12.
That's what I have for 12.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I have for 12, too.
Mm-hmm.
What's that, 9 to 20?
Right.
No, for
12, mm-hmm.
I had 13 through 15.
Oh, I guess I'm wrong, then.
No, I'm not necessarily.
I might be wrong, too, now.
Okay. The question is, how does Isaiah explain what predictions? And I had 6 through 8, which says, this is what the Lord says, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord of Heaven's armies. I am the first and the last. There is no other God who is like me. Let him step forward and prove to you his power. Let him do as I have done since ancient times, when I established the people and explained its future. Do not tremble. Do not be afraid. Did I not proclaim my purposes for you long ago? You are my witnesses. You are my witnesses. Is there any other God? No. There's no other rock, not one. Now, how does Isaiah explain what predictions? If he was talking about what was in the past and what's in the future. So that's the reason I came with, and predictions being something for the future.
So number 5 in the footnotes, it says the time will come. So I thought that was the prediction, because it says the time will come.
Well, that's true as well.
Israel will be proud and be
moving
to God.
Start off with a question, like a prediction, the time will come. It's like that is something going to be in the future.
Mm-hmm. So you want
9 to 20
read?
Let's see. Go ahead. Another person. I mean, I want to hear Professor Wilkes. He gave us another number. I mean, I want to hear his purpose, his response to his, how he reached his conclusion, I guess I should say.
Well, I was going, you know, by chance, I might have been out of my class on that one. So I'll take 5 through 9.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, 8. Mm-hmm.
Very good class.
Yeah, it would be 5 through 8, yeah, because it's saying in 8, did not proclaim my purposes for you long ago. You are my witnesses. Is there any other God? Not, no, there is no other rock. From him, yeah. So, yeah.
Well, so my thing I was saying was, in my verses, they were speaking in terms of a first and a last. And I looked at it as, an idol can't never be the first. Because to be an idol, somebody got to make it. So how can it be before God?
All right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that was just me. I don't know. Maybe I'm saying it wrong. I don't know.
Explain what? How does the verse explain what predictions? Yeah. So it does talk about the future. It says the first and the last, and it explains about the future, and then it talks about.
I look at it as the Lord being the first and the last. Now I might be wrong. That's just me.
He is the first and the last.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That's the way I see it. But maybe I'm wrong. I'm just my perception.
No.
Okay.
Could you help us out there, Pastor?
Okay. This is question number 11, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
And the question is, how does Isaiah explain what predictions?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think the question was aimed at verses 6 through 8. This mm-hmm. is what the Lord says, Israel's king mm-hmm. and redeemer. And the predictions are what God did a long time ago. Again, what God is doing mm-hmm. here is challenging. He makes this statement first, and the rest of this chapter is about, until you get to the latter verses, then Cyrus comes up. But this is where he sums up his argument against those false gods, against those gods that claim to be gods but are not gods, the gods that his people, Israel, have been surrounded by since they left Egypt, and who keep reverting to. Remember when we read the Book of the Kings, they kept going up into the mountains with them shrines and Asherah poles and worshiping, and then one king would come and tear it all down, and another king would come and put it back up.
Yep.
So they kept doing that. And so Isaiah was prophesying during the time of King Hezekiah when the people were doing that. Remember, the good king would go up there, tear that stuff up, and turn the people back mm-hmm. toward the temple, right?
Yeah.
So Isaiah is prophesying at that time. And so what God is trying to do is to convince his people to stop worshiping idols, stop putting things that I made alongside me. And so this mm-hmm. whole, the rest of this whole chapter is about the foolishness of idols. He gets into I don't know, it's probably going to be a question about it, maybe, maybe not. But then the predictions are right here. This is what the Lord says, Israel's king and redeemer, the Lord of heaven's armies. I am the first and the last, and there is no other God. Who is like me? Let him step forward and prove to you by his power. Let him do as I have done since ancient times when I established the people and explained its future. Do not mm-hmm. tremble, do not be afraid. Did I not proclaim my purposes for you long ago? You are my witnesses. Is there any other God? No. There is no other rock, not one. No other Savior, not one. So, again, the rest of this, all the rest of this follows along with
Number 12, yep.
Right, the foolishness of idols.
Mm-hmm.
So at verse 9 all the way down to verse 20,
mm-hmm.
it's all about the same thing. God is trying to convince his people to not fall for the okey-doke and worship something, especially something they made with their own hands. It's as if you went into your flowers and you took some dirt and you shaped it up into something that looked like something, and then every day you go down and bow in front of it. This is what he's talking about. Every day. But, you know, we have our idols. Think about this. Whatever it is that, okay, at Running for Christ Ministries, we're in Christian history class. Whatever it is that keeps you from reading your Christian history assignment in 7 days is your idol. Whatever keeps you from not answering these questions until Bible class night, whatever else you're doing instead of what you're supposed to be doing for the Lord is your idol. You have placed that person, place, thing, or thought above God. It's more important to you than he is. For instance, if I'm studying, my wife will tell you, I'm not answering the phone. I don't care what it is because I'm not 911. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a policeman. I'm not a doctor. So it can't be that much of an emergency for me. So I don't let my study be interrupted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I won't do something else instead. I won't go through 7 days and not do what I'm supposed to do. Today, I did my chapter 2. I read the chapter. Then I did the 16 questions. I won't go 7 days and not get that done. Whatever blocked me from doing that was more important than that. That's your idol. And those are the things that God want to move out of the way. What's between you? When God says to us New Testament folks, come near to me and I'll come near to you. Well, what's in the way blocking you from coming near to God? He says, humble yourself, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you, and come near to me and I'll come near to you.
Okay.
So if we do, the failure is in humbling ourselves.
So
and if
true.
We don't humble ourselves unto him, then we can't resist the devil. And so he does not, we don't come near to him, so he don't come near to us, even though he's our father. So this
Did
is what God is doing for Israel. And if you take Isaiah and put it in the whole Bible and look at his part, and understand that he is during the time of these kings, they named the kings in the beginning of the book that he prophesied under. God is making every effort he can to change his people's projected future or prophesied future about going in captivity. Because when we get to the bottom of this chapter and into the next one, we're going to be talking about a man named Cyrus. Cyrus comes along after the Babylonian captivity. He brings it to an end. The 70 years comes to an end under him. And then the Medo-Persians take over. Okay, so Isaiah is writing in the year 700, and if time goes like backwards in the Old Testament, Cyrus comes along in the years 300 BCE during the intertestamental period. So that's a lot of years ahead of time that God is warning them. If you keep this crap up, you're going to Babylon. But they ain't gonna listen. And they going to Babylon. So
thank you, Pastor. And everyone else. Y'all had the right answer. I was a little off. But anyway, continuing after question 11, 12, we're gonna finish our chapter 44 and left off at 8. We're going to take 9 to 20. Does anybody feel like reading that?
We'll say that again, sir.
Okay. How does Isaiah explain people making their own gods? And,
oh,
and 9 to 20 should go ahead.
How,
It says, how foolish are those who manufacture idols? These prized objects are really worthless. The people who worship idols don't know this, so they are all put to shame. Who but a fool would make his own god an idol that cannot help him one bit? All who worship idols will be disgraced, along with all these craftsmen, mere humans, who claim they can make a god. They may all stand together, but they will stand in terror and shame. The blacksmith stands at his forge to make a sharp tool, pounding and shaping it with all his might. His work makes him hungry and weak. It makes him thirsty and faint. Then the wood carver measures a block of wood and draws a pattern on it. He works with chisels and planes and carves it into a human figure. He gives it human beauty and puts it in a little shrine. He cuts down cedars. He selects the cypress and the oaks. He plants the pines in the forest to be nourished by the rain. When he uses part of the wood to make the fire with it, he warms himself and bakes his bread. Then, yes, it's true, he takes the rest of it and makes himself a god to worship. He makes an idol and bows down in front of it. He burns part of the tree to roast his meat and to keep himself warm. He says, that fire feels good. Then he takes what's left and makes his god a carved idol. He falls down in front of it, worshiping and praying to it. Rescue me, he says, you are my god. Such stupidity and ignorance. Their eyes are closed and they cannot see. Their minds are shut and they cannot think. The person who made the idol never stops to reflect why it's just a block of wood. I burn half of it for heat and use it to bake my bread and roast my meat. How can the rest of it be a god? Should I bow down to worship a piece of wood? The poor, deluded fool feeds on ashes. He trusts something that can't help him at all. Yet he cannot bring himself to ask, is this idol that I'm holding in my hand a lie? Amen.
Well, yeah. Amen. Now that's breaking it down. That's breaking it down for you.
Yeah, so God made all that stuff he was using.
Right.
So he reused it. that's what Pastor
I just like how my man used the same wood to heat himself up and then still make a god out of what's left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just reusing it.
Mm-hmm. 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 So then that way, I'm going to wear them little wooden tikis they used to make.
Yeah, tiki.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
story is told that there was a man, an angel, who wanted to challenge God, and who professed that this angel said he was God. And so they had a contest, and God said that he had made the heavens and the earth and everything in it, and the angel didn't refute that because he was there when God did it. And then the angel said, God said to the angel, if you think you're God like me and you are as powerful as I am, then let's see a display of your power. So the angel took something that God made and said, watch this. And God said, hold up. Get your own thing. I made that. And so the angel, found out that he couldn't create ex nihilo. He could only take something that God made and try to make something out of it. But he couldn't do like God, make something out of nothing.
Nothing. All right.
Yeah. That sounds like us when we be like, Lord, if you just help me do this, I'll do something for you. I mean,
right. What are you going to do for God? What are you going to do for God?
You give us everything we got, but we're trying to negotiate.
Go ahead.
He don't need anything, so, you know, I'll do this for you. Jesus is like, really? I didn't know I needed anything.
Yeah, right.
That's all
you
I
don't
need.
Have any servants I got, you. I don't even need you.
It says here Isaiah describes how people make their own gods, how absurd to make a god from the same tree that gives firewood, and what are the gods we make, money, fame, or power? We deceive ourselves if we expect them to empower our life.
Yeah, you're right about that.
All righty then.
All right. Well, thank you, Miss Kathy. That's on point. Yes, it was. Okay. Question number 13. How does God use Cyrus, and how is it broken down for explanation?
1 through 3.
Forty-five. 1 through 3.
Yes.
Go for it, my brother.
Huh? 1 through 4?
1 through 4.
I'll do as you ask.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the Lord says to Cyrus, his anointed one, whose right hand he will empower. Before him, mighty kings will be paralyzed with fear. Their fortress gates will be open, never to shut again. This is what the Lord says. I will go before you, Cyrus, and level the mountains. I will smash down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. And I will give you treasures hidden in the darkness, secret riches. I will do this so you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, the one who calls you by name. And why have I called you for this work? Why did I call you by name when you did not know me? It is for the sake of Jacob, my servant, Israel, my chosen one. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Now that's breaking it down for you.
That's to the point.
To the point. Any other answers, comments? All right. Question number 14. What is mentioned in verses chapter 45, 18 and 19 states?
For the Lord is God.
It says, for the Lord is God, and he created the heavens and earth and put everything in place. He made the world to be lived in, not to be a place of empty chaos. I am the Lord, he says, and there is no other. I publicly proclaim bold promises. I do not whisper obscurities in some dark corner. I would not have told the people of Israel to seek me if I could not be found. I, the Lord, speak only what is true and declare only what is right. And so God's promises in the footnotes are public, and their fulfillment is sure. So why do we ever doubt him? We never have to be uncertain when we have a God of truth and righteousness. Mm-hmm. So he's God. That's
Amen.
It. That's it.
Amen.
That's all.
That's it. Right. Any comments? Any other answers? Getting to the last question of the night. And here's another. How does chapter 45, 22 through 25 say about the one heavenly Father?
Okay. Well, read as follows.
Okay.
Let all the world look to me for salvation, for I am God. There is no other. I have sworn by my own name. I have spoken the truth, and I will never go back on my word.
Every knee will bend to me, and every tongue will declare allegiance to me. The people will declare, the Lord is the source of my righteousness and strength, and all who were angry with him will come to him and be ashamed. In the Lord, all the generation of Israel will be justified, and in him they will boast. All right.
Amen.
Well, let me hear your explanation on that one. Let me hear y'all explain that one.
Well, we're going to slide down and get a little leverage from the footnotes. Mm-hmm. Salvation for all nations, not just for Israelites. Many times it seems as though Israel had a inside track on salvation, but God makes it clear that his people include all those who follow him. Israel was to be the means through which the whole world would come to know God, Jesus, the Messiah, fulfillment Israel's role, and gave all people the opportunity to follow God. See Romans 11:11, Galatians 3:28, Ephesians 3:6, and Philippians 2:16. So, you know, basically, everything that that we have in our life comes through God, and we should always make that our strong point when we walk up and wake up in the morning, that it's him that opened up our eyes, not us mm-hmm. ourselves. It's
yeah,
him that brought us to sleep, not us. You know, even the things that we own is through God. Because if God wanted you to have it, you got it. And if you got it without asking God for it, oh, believe me, you're going to feel the repercussions behind it. And I think that we've all done that in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that we're no different than the Israelites or what they did. We just got more technology and we're in the future and everything. But we still do the same darnest things that they did. And we're no different. But through our Savior Jesus Christ, which they didn't have back then, and we have now, we've got the Holy Spirit that's in us all the time and never leaves us. And we don't have to do no sacrifices once we sin. We just see that that 1 John, what's it, 1 John 3, 9?
1 John 1, 9.
I forgot it because I'll never have to use it. No, I'm just lying.
Thank you.
No.
I'm like, you ain't going to never have to use it?
No. Hey, definitely. Every day, my brother. And so my brothers and sisters, we all sin. You might not do the Ten Commandments sins, but anything outside of what the Bible says, that we just do it automatically, is sometimes it becomes an inborn reflex, which I think it is, because we're born in sin. But yeah.
Nicely said,
that, yes.
Romans 11:11, it said, did God's people stumble and fall beyond recovery? Of course not. They were disobedient, so God made salvation available to the Gentiles, but he wanted his own people to become jealous and claim it for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. We got to see God for ourselves. To go through, to get through, and see him for ourselves for what he do for us. Mm-hmm. Through all our trials and tribulations.
Yeah. Well, I like to thank everyone for sitting in and answering the questions. Appreciate it. And before we pray us out of here. Pastor, do you have any announcements or anything you want to share with us before we close?
Amen. Just one thing to share. We talked about Cyrus, and again, this is Isaiah talking about Cyrus in the year 700, and then when Cyrus actually shows up in the year 300 BCE, you'll find him in the book of Daniel. You know, first is Darius the Mede, but Darius the Mede is partnered with the Medo-Persians, the Persians being the heavier side. And you'll find Cyrus talks about him, I believe, in chapter 10. I'm a Cyrus, my servant. But anyway, Daniel goes to Cyrus, and Daniel shows Cyrus what Isaiah said about him, and that makes and Cyrus believes it and actually does all those things that God said he would do. So again, that's another faith builder. God talked about his anointed servant Cyrus. And if you read more of that, you would see that he admitted that Cyrus did not know him. Cyrus did not serve him. So God chose Cyrus before Cyrus even chose God, which is true about Jeremiah. Before your mother and father formed you in the womb, I knew you. I sanctified you. I ordained you. And he did the same thing with Cyrus. And Cyrus was so impressed with what Daniel showed him, that the Bible, God's word, the Old Testament, Hebrew Old Testament, said about him, that he felt like he needed to fulfill that. So, again, tuck away all them faith builders. They will help you to know what God said to the New Testament church, church under grace, the grace covenant, right? What God said to us, and we can count on it coming to pass. No matter how long it takes, or no matter what happens, it will come to pass. And God got all kinds of ways to make it happen. But to tell you the truth, God said it. It's already going to happen exactly like he said it would. That's the blessing of knowing God's word, especially how it applies to us. Okay, this Saturday, Elder Joseph Stevens will be preaching the sermon. Service starts at 9:30 a.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. And then Sunday, I'll be preaching, talking about Paul again. We're going to pick him up back in Philippi, where he has cast a demon out of a girl. And he's going to get himself thrown in prison, him and Silas. But God's going to use that to save everybody. And then, of course, at 4 o'clock on Sunday, it's Bring Back the Family with Deaconess Kathy Clyburn. Tune in for that. What is your investment? Amen. We don't help our youth today. We'll be victims of not helping them in the future. Okay, and then Monday, of course, need you to read Christian History. Need you to read Chapter 2. And there are 16 review questions. Go ahead and knock those out. And we'll see you on Monday. And if you have any questions from anything you read, all you have to do is send me an email, and I'll answer that question for you. Okay, I'm through.
Okay. And there are your announcements for the rest of this week and going into next week. Okay. Brother Eric.
Yes, sir.
Would you pray us out, please, sir?
Yes, sir. Okay, everybody, clear your minds. Dear gracious Father,
yes,
thank you,
sir.
For today. Thank you for giving us all the opportunity of sharing your word. Hopefully it's been edifying to one and all for what we've heard, what we experienced, what we went through tonight. Lord, we thank you for the teaching. We thank you for this opportunity. Blog Talk Radio, we ask that you incorporate your spirit with each and every one of us. So if we intertwine with your spirit, whatever darkness we may have, we cast away because you're the pure light that we need. Lord, we're just saying thank you for everything you do and everything you will do. We're saying thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. All right. Hey, man. Everybody have yourselves a wonderful night and a wonderful rest of this week. You did. And be busy for the Lord, you dig. Look at your neighbor
right.
And say, you dig.
You're right.
Won't it do it? Won't it do it? Won't it, will it, won't it, won't it do it? Won't it do it? Won't it do it? Won't it, will it, won't it, won't it do it?
Cursed me, I was drowning off in my mess. But the Lord, he came and saved me like a damsel in distress. Yeah, now we are living and now we are giving. Blessings are piled to the ceiling. Anointed my head with oil. Now look at my cup, it is spilling. My sins, he picked up the filling. He got all my enemies chilling. He made a way, I won't forget the feeling. I'll do whatever, just ask me, I'm willing. Willing, 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 willing.